This is the School Success Podcast, a podcast for school leaders to learn from other school leaders what's working and what's not, and to get inspiration and encouragement, as well as strategies to grow school enrollment, connect with families, retain teachers, recruit teachers, and everything in between. You guys are heroes, and I cannot thank you enough for pouring into this next generation that's coming behind us. My goal is you will take at least one thing away from every episode that you can take back to your school to make it better than it is right now. Please enjoy the School Success Podcast. Hey, school success makers, welcome to another edition of the School Success Podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Slater. I'm joined by two really good friends. One of them is in the great state of Indiana, Clint Holden, and the other one is in the great state of California, which is Frank Clement. And they do some awesome things. Again, really, really good friends of mine. And so we thought, let's all have a podcast together to talk about school health in the terms of the financial sustainability and tuition financing and different pieces like that. We're going to just have the conversation go and let it take off, and we'll kind of wrap it up as when we feel like we've completed that segment. But before we do that, we'll do single introductions. So we'll start with Frank. Introduce yourself, who you're with, why you're here, and then we'll pass it off to Clint.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mitchell. As you said, my name is Frank Clement. I do live in California. I don't know if it's a great state. I know there's a lot of debate right now, but it is the state I live in, and I'm with America's Christian Credit Union.
Yeah, I am Clint Holden. School Right is my company name, and we also have under our umbrella Benefac Financial Aid Verification, which is going to be a part of our conversation today. And I guess I will say I'm in the great state of Indiana, but I'm really from the great state of Colorado. But you just have to try and keep up with me. Wherever I land is where we live.
Very good. Well, guys, I know you both serve schools. You serve them very well in different capacities. And you guys are just super likable people who I know all your clients love you. But as we dive into today's topic of discussion, let's kind of just start it with school health specifically. So obviously these specifically private schools, but maybe it's Christian schools for students who are wanting to go, but maybe the families, they can't afford it. They're going to have to start by getting maybe a loan or work with the school directly on a payment plan. Let's kind of like start there on like how you two come into play when families are needing some help with paying their tuition. And maybe let's just start with Frank. So hopefully we're not too much talking over each other. But Frank, what does that look like for a school? What should a school be looking like for those that are listening?
Yeah. Well, and just, you know, quick backstory on my experience in this. And now Clint is sort of a mentor to me because he's been working with schools for longer than I have. But over the last few years, I've interacted with quite a few school leaders. And what immediately became apparent was some of the financial issues that they ran into when it came to tuition. You know, obviously tuition is the lifeblood of a school. Donations are nice, but at the end of the day, the thing that you really have to be able to count on is receiving tuition in exchange for educating students in the school. And what I was hearing from school leaders was, you know, we have families come to us, let's say tuition is $10,000. And these families are saying, well, we can't afford $10,000 up front. And so the school says, okay, no problem. Why don't you just pay us, you know, $1,000 a month for the next 10 months. And then some families don't, or some families get behind, or some families are consistently late. And the problem is that the schools, you know, the school can't pay the teachers late because the parents paid the school late. And you can't pay your mortgage or your rent late because your tuition is coming in late. And so a lot of schools that I was interacting with, I was finding that they were struggling with collecting tuition, and kind of they would go one of two ways, or maybe a mix of both. Either they would just accept that they were going to lose some money and they'd have to pad their tuition to account for the losses that they were expecting, or they would staff up and they'd go hire somebody and say, your job is to make sure that everybody pays tuition on time. And this is even in instances where they have, you know, a payment portal, they're still paying somebody every month to monitor and make sure that those payments came in and make those phone calls and try to grab people in the pickup line and say, hey, you know, you still owe this month's rent, tuition. And so either way, it was costing the schools, right? Either they were losing money or they were having to pay additional staffing costs to be able to collect that tuition. And so I looked at that and I said, well, we do that all the time at our credit union. We call that a loan, right? When you lend somebody money and they have to pay you back over time, but we have some tools at our disposal that a lot of schools don't. And so identifying that problem and realizing that this is, you know, the financial sustainability of a school really hangs on its ability to consistently collect that tuition, you know, month in and month out, year in and year out. And so that was kind of what turned me on to this conversation and how our credit union might be able to serve. And you know, I've had a lot of conversations with Clint, and you know, I want to give Clint a chance to talk about this because he's been working with schools for a couple of decades, and he's really seen how bad it can hurt when schools get behind on that tuition collection.
Yeah, that's great. I may serve, as you say, as your mentor, but I clearly think you're the smart one, by the way. So you brought this idea up to me a couple months ago. We had initial conversation about it because one of the great challenges, and you've already alluded to this, is that schools, especially smaller schools, are just stuck. They have put themselves now into having to have a financial relationship with the parents of whom they want to nurture their children. And nobody wants that, by the way. I don't know that anybody wakes up in the morning and says, good, I get to go do collections of parents at my school. This is the funnest day I've ever encountered. And so the concept has long been there, but schools have not known what to do about it in terms of, is there another way to collect tuition with this being somewhat affordable? And there are systems that have not really collections built into it. They're more of a reminder and, hey, you're late, but it ultimately falls back to the administration to have to deal with this. And one of the things that I have long wanted to see, and we've tried to help many schools with this, is change the paradigm. Because if you continue to just allow people to pay what they can pay, to be late time after time, you're putting your school in peril. And this always falls on the back of somebody. Who? The teachers. The teachers who are the ones that are waiting for those parents to pay. And Frank, the thing that I love about the relationship that we have with you and with America's Christian Credit Union, and you've said it so well before to me, is it's not that we're trying to be hard-nosed and help schools be hard-nosed with parents. That's not it at all. But when we have financial obligations, we stand to pay those back. We owe creditors. And honestly, in honor to God, we are to pay our debtors. Those that we have responsibility to. And when we allow folks off the hook, I've never, ever heard of a school, by the way, allowing folks off the hook who has said, hey, I'll get you paid back, and they pay them back. It's very rare if it ever happens. So the idea here is let's change the paradigm to a healthy model that helps schools succeed and to move forward, not having to rely on, you said it, fundraising. Fundraising can be a part of a school's ecosystem if it's done for the right reasons. The wrong reasons would be, hey, we have this huge gap and we got to fill this gap and we don't know how to fill this gap. So let's just magically write the dollar amount on our spreadsheet and then we can call it all even. But now we got to go find that money somehow. Tuition should really fund the private school. And the collection mechanism that we're going to be talking about, we think is a super healthy way to do it.
I love it. Well, I love what you guys are doing. Let's dive into the little nitty gritty of it. So, you know, Clint, a school contacts you and they're like, hey, I mean, I don't know which one they would contact first. Maybe that's the first thing we should talk about. So if, obviously ACCU, you guys have your own set of schools. I know Benefac, you have your own set of schools you're working with, but what is it? Where should the conversation start? So if a school leader, one of the ones that's listening, is like, oh man, they're preaching to me right here. I feel it. Or they're going, I have to chase people all the time. And maybe at the end of the year, we only have 95% of what's actually owed to our school. And they're missing out on 5%, which could be, I mean, shoot, depending on how much they're making, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. So should they start that conversation with ACCU or with Benefac?
That's a great question. I think ultimately it has been starting with ACCU, and it's come to our attention then from the relationship with them. But I think it can go both ways, and that's one of the things that's starting to unfold with this. Is there's more information that's coming out from Benefac to our school clients to say, hey, by the way, you need to be aware of this. This exists. And but had it not been for you, Frank, we wouldn't be having the conversation, because there has to be, as we've already mentioned, there has to be a system, there has to be a mechanism in place to do that. And so it makes a lot of sense when the first conversations happens to be with a financial institution, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, in both cases, well, what this is all about really is transparency and accountability. And Clint, you know, got at that a little bit a moment ago. You know, when we have financial obligations as Christians, you know, we of all people, as Christians, we should be meeting those financial obligations and doing so in a timely way. And, you know, the beauty of what Benefac offers, and I don't want to be speaking for Clint, but the beauty of what Benefac offers is it's got a, you know, it calculates the financial aid or the financial capacity of a family for the purposes of distributing financial aid. And I can't tell you, I hear it's anecdotes, right? But I feel like I hear the same anecdote over and over again, where people talk about the family that begs and begs for financial aid, and then they show up in a brand new car, or they've been consistently late on their tuition payments, and it turns out they just bought a vacation house somewhere, right? And then the school leaders are like, what are you doing? You know, we wish that we could pay our teachers even remotely close to what the public school teachers are getting paid. And as it is, we feel like we can't even afford to pay them what we agreed to pay them, because we're not receiving the tuition. And we feel like maybe families are taking advantage of the kindness of the school, right? The grace that we're trying to extend. And so both on the Benefac side and on the tuition financing side, the tuition financing that America's Christian Credit Union provides, it's all about creating that transparency, so that it's really clear, you know, when it comes to Benefac, you know, what is a family's capacity and what kind of need do they have? What demonstrated need? And that way the school is not giving financial aid to people who don't need it. And the school is avoiding any kind of a charge that they're giving financial aid to people for any reason other than demonstrated need, right? The last thing you would want as a school leader is someone to say, oh, you gave the Joneses extra financial aid because you go to church with them or because your kids are best friends, right? You don't want that even a whiff of that in your community. You want everyone to feel like financial aid was distributed fairly through a system that everyone had access to. And then on the other side, you know, once that financial aid has been determined and people know exactly what their financial obligation to the school is, that would be where the tuition financing comes in. And at that point, we haven't talked about the nitty-gritty, but essentially the idea is that instead of the school offering a payment plan to families, the school would say, we're going to refer you to our partner, to America's Christian Credit Union, and you're going to get a tuition loan with them. And that financial relationship is going to be between the family and the credit union rather than between the family and the school. And so that way, the school is not being responsible for having those difficult conversations throughout the year. There's not this feeling that, you know, do you only care about my kid because you're shaking me down for money? Or if I don't pay you, are you going to, you know, treat my child worse somehow? You know, all these thoughts of, you know, injustice that crop up in people's minds. Well, all of that kind of goes away when the financial relationship is shifted away from the school to a financial institution that's actually equipped to have that relationship and manage it in a much, you know, tighter way, I would say. So again, it's that transparency and accountability, both on the financial aid side and on the collection of that tuition throughout the year.
This really cleans it up, I think, too, because many schools, and I'm not just going to put small schools into this, because I think into this scenario, because it probably happens all across the board, a gazillion. I don't even know how big that number is, but that's a big number, and that's probably a fabrication. A gazillion, you know, things are like, hey, we'll come up with this way that you can pay your tuition. We'll come up with this way you can pay your tuition. Oh, you want to pay us on the 1st and the 15th every month? Okay. Oh, yeah, well, I pay you on the 1st and 15th every month and you're getting more money, so can I get a little bit of a discount? Oh, yeah, sure, we'll do that. You know, anything to get the money. And that's just so not right, and it's dangerous. And I tell you, not everybody, but I would say a majority of folks don't understand that the private school and the Christian school tuition and the ability, the opportunity, maybe I should say, to go to these institutions is a privilege. It's not a right. And so when we force upon, if I'm a parent and I'm forcing that as a right, and if the administration says, well, yeah, this is your right, then you all of a sudden have a right to pay for it however you want to.
Right.
And there is a pretty significant misunderstanding of what it actually costs these schools to operate. Yeah. And when a school has to operate, you know, kind of the month to month, just like many families operate month to month financially, it really hurts the program of the school. And so that's another benefit of this. When a tuition policy is set up really clearly, like here's your payment options, that's it, the school becomes successful. It's kind of like putting those boundaries around your kids. Like you stay in these boundaries and you'll be very happy with me. And I'll be very happy with you. And there's safety in that. And there's safety in these types of policies too, not just for the school, but for parents. Because now you can imagine the parent A who's saying, hey, I'm doing everything I can to rightly pay my bill. And parent B and C and D are getting all kinds of options given to them. It doesn't help parent A feel like they're have the same level of value as this. And the trust can start to erode. So there's just so many things that could be talked about in regard to why this has to be structured better. And many schools have done that over time. But you guys both know this. When a new person comes and sits in the seat and leads the school, a new person is on the board changes face, they're learning how to be a board, how to run, help run a school and administration team. Things can change. They can all just be thrown out the window. So we've got to be really careful with that. And that's where I think this is really a wonderful system to look at operating under.
And it's not expensive for what we're talking about too. It's like both of what you guys offer. Like I think maybe schools, they might hear of this and go, well, we can never afford to have this type of solution provided to our family. So I love to even speak to that. Mm-hmm. So sorry, kind of like Frank, we'll start with you. So like, okay, we want to offer this to families to be able to get maybe all the tuition paid up front and they work with you. What would that look like if a school was to work with you guys?
Yeah. Well, and I would say, rather than thinking of it in terms of being expensive or being not expensive, part of this is actually just introducing, shall I say, real world consequences into the situation. And so something that I encourage schools to look at their payment plans and recognize that when you allow someone to pay over 10 months or 12 months, you're extending credit. You are essentially making a loan, right? Because that seat, you're not going to turn around and resell it to someone else if the family stops paying 2 months into the year. So that seat is a perishable good. So you're selling something that's only good right now, and you're allowing them to pay over time. And if they stop paying, there's kind of nothing you can do. I mean, you could expel the child, but you're not going to refill that seat. And so you have to be really thoughtful about, you know, who you're offering a payment plan to and who you're inviting into your school community. And, the other thing is, if you're allowing people to have a payment plan, allowing them to pay over time and, you know, essentially extending credit, well, there's a cost to money, right? If you're waiting on that money to roll in, that comes at a cost to the school and it benefits the family. And similarly, if that family ends up not paying you the full amount, the school's going to eat that. And so when you look at any form of loan, right, if it's a car loan, if it's a home loan, whatever, there's always interest. For two reasons. One, because there's a cost to lending somebody money, and every once in a while, somebody's not going to pay. And so the lender has to make sure that they are receiving enough interest from the entire portfolio to cover over those shortfalls. And so when a school is extending a payment plan and there's no interest and they're not underwriting families to determine whether these people actually have a good credit history, whether they've been faithful in the past about meeting their financial obligations, and then the school doesn't really have a whole lot of recourse if someone stops paying. I mean, you can threaten, to kick Johnny out of school, or you can threaten to withhold the transcripts, but you can't report them to the credit bureaus, right? You can't affect their ability to borrow money in the future. And so our program, I would say, is about introducing real-world consequences into the school financial picture to make sure that people are really being held accountable. And again, like Clint said, we're not trying to be mean or hard-nosed, but this is what you would see anywhere else, right? You go to the dentist and you're going to get a root canal and you can't afford it. They will send you to a dental financing company that does dental loans, right? Your dentist is not going to let you have a payment plan because the dentist is going to say, I'm a dentist. I'm not a bank. I'm not in the business of collecting money, and I don't want to bring that into my office, right? I don't want to make that part of my job. And so, like Clint said earlier, this idea of the paradigm, like for schools to be willing to, you know, school leaders step back, look at your payment plan and see it maybe for what it is, and recognize that there might be a better way to approach it. So, but you know, Mitchell, to your point then about essentially the costs of the program, well, it doesn't cost the school anything. All the school is doing is saying, we have changed our tuition policy. We are now collecting tuition, you know, in full upfront. It's due, let's say, July 1st. And if you pay us by July 1st, you have a seat in the school. And if you don't pay us by July 1st, you don't have a seat in the school, right? And then referring folks to America's Christian Credit Union and saying, you're welcome to go talk to them about a tuition loan to be able to afford the privilege of having your child in a Christian school, like Clint was saying. And so then the family comes to us and they're applying for a loan, and we're looking at them just like we would look at anybody for any other kind of a loan, right? We are looking at, have you been faithful in paying your debts in the past, right? That's reflected in your credit score. When you bought a car and you bought a house and you, you know, got a loan to do your back porch, did you pay those other lenders back? Because we don't want to be the next lender to not get paid back after a string of failure to repay. And then the other thing that we're looking at is debt to income. We want to be sure that we're not putting a family in a financial situation that they can't actually maintain. And so if adding the loan payment to their monthly obligations is going to put them past 50% debt to income, so more than half of their income each month is going to various debt obligations, including the tuition loan, we would say no, or we would counter with a lower amount that they can afford. And I always want to emphasize that financial strain is the number two leading cause of divorce in America, right? So if a family thinks that they're doing good things for their kids by putting them in Christian school, but then the financial burden of having them in Christian school is making home a hellscape, you're not really serving your children well, right? The school can't reverse the damage that's being done at home if mom and dad are constantly fighting about money. And so this is yet another way to bring that transparency to the family's financial situation and help them make a good decision. And in some cases, I mean, it's hard, but we would say you don't qualify for a loan. Having this loan would not be good for you as a family. Now, you're welcome to go. Maybe your pastor has some money that's available for parishioners who want to send their kids to a Christian school. Maybe the school has additional financial aid. You can go through the Benefac portal and apply for financial aid, you know, through that system. But for you to borrow this money would not be good for you as a family. And frankly, it wouldn't be good for us as a lender, because there's a very good chance that you wouldn't repay us. So I know I kind of went off your original question about cost, but I think it's so important to talk about when you are extending credit, when you're lending people money, these are all the things that you have to think about. And these are the things that a lot of times schools are not thinking about and don't necessarily have the tools to even manage. And yet year after year, they're offering these payment plans and just sort of hoping for the best.
Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break from the episode to highlight our amazing sponsors over at America's Christian Credit Union. They are celebrating 65 years of service this year, and they provide essential school banking services and a tuition financing program for schools looking to reduce their risk and administrative burden. And you guys can find out all about them on their website, americaschristiancu.com/schools. That's americaschristiancu.com/schools. They are amazing over there, and I always like to say, if you're a school that collects tuition and you have a hard time collecting all of tuition at the end of the year, maybe it comes around May, June, you're like, man, we only got collected 95 or 98% of what tuition was owed to our school. One of the things you can do is have your parents get a tuition financing loan through the credit union, and then they pay the credit union directly, and you get your funds up front at the beginning of the year as the school. So you don't have to chase people throughout the year, and you can focus on what you do best, and that is loving and educating your students. And it doesn't cost your school anything to do it. So check them out online, americaschristiancu.com/schools. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, Clint, what about on your side for cost and setup? He set you up perfectly too. I love that. He was just like, hey, you got to get financial aid verification from Benefac. So like, let's hear yeah. it from your side.
So the idea here is, of course, that a group like us in particular, Benefac, would come alongside these applicants that now need to, you know, they need some help, and they need the system to work for them and them to work with that system really well. They would actually utilize the Benefac application which we already provide to schools around the country in terms of how do you verify financial aid so that it's legal, it's vetted the exact same way, it's unbiased, and it would be that case. So school has a family, comes in, and let's say the school totally agrees with this. They're like, hey, yeah, we have these payment plans, and if you can't make the payment up front, you have to get a tuition loan. So the family is now applying for financial aid because they want to find out how much can I really even take? So that will be kind of the interim early steps that Benefac would help provide to say, hey, this family, they can afford $500 a month and they've got three kids in the school. The school can then decide, can we take that? Is that the amount that's going to work in this scenario for us? And if they say yes, hey, that's going to work, you need to apply for this assistance now from the credit union so that we can get our payment up front for that amount. And they would sign off on that amount. So it actually works together. It's not as though, I mean, a school wouldn't have to use that. They could say everybody pays full amount, period, no matter what. But schools all over the place are doing financial aid verification this way. They're finding out what the ability is of a family to make a payment. And so it's that interim step that we provide. The credit union would also have their own layer that they would plop on top of that. You said something, Frank, that kind of made me chuckle. You know, this part didn't make me chuckle. What I'm going to say made me chuckle. You talked about the financial frenzy in a family is like the number two leading cause of divorce. And I'm thinking, man, the financial frenzy in schools, and I haven't done the research on this, I'm sure is probably close to the number one reason that schools close. They just can't do it anymore. And there is this longstanding horrible tradition that Christian schools in particular, I'm just going to speak about, have used this idea that, well, we don't have all the money we need to make it through this year, but phew, good, registration fees are starting to come in for the new year. We'll use those. Oh, somebody made their payment in full for next year already. We'll use that money to help us get through this year. It's just a killer to the school. So imagine the day, folks, that the Christian school gets their money up front. They've got I'm just throwing a number out. They have a $2 million budget of tuition that they anticipate collecting, and they collect it in July. What can that school do now for the year? Number one, they can manage your money very smartly. It's so difficult to manage money when you don't have it, and you're only speculating that it's going to come. And you wonder, why do I have to go shake the trees on the second of the month, or the third, or the fourth, or fifth of the month, because the money that was supposed to come on the first did not come. And now, this big bill that is here because so-and-so trusted us to pay this, we have to pay this, we can't get it done. We can't put this new piece of lab equipment in because we aren't going to be able to get it because we can't pay it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, kind of like you said, Frank, I don't know where I went with that, Mitchell, and did if I veered way off course, just following the guy who calls me his mentor.
Well, and Clint, if I can, I heard something interesting from another school consultant who works with about 30 schools, and she was telling me that sometimes wealthy families are the worst offenders when it comes to paying tuition. They'll eventually pay, but they'll just consistently be late because it's not a high priority. And there aren't any immediate consequences, right? If you stop paying your electric bill, usually your utility company is pretty good about making you feel the pain, right? Or if you don't pay your mortgage, your mortgage lender is going to let you know. But if you stop paying your school, or if you're a few weeks late every single month, right? You're just consistently late with those payments, Mr. Jones, remember, like you need to turn in your check for tuition. Oh, right. Yeah, of course. I'll bring my checkbook next time. And then, he doesn't. So, this is where, at least on our side, on the ACCU side, we are introducing those real world consequences where people realize, well, if I am 30 days late, that gets reported to the credit bureaus. Even if I'm not fully, if I haven't defaulted on the loan yet, if I'm delinquent past a certain point, that will show up. And then if I go to buy a new yacht, I don't know, whatever, that's going to show up on my credit report. And someone's going to say, what's this loan that you have that you were consistently late on paying? And what does that say about you as a financial steward, right? And can we trust you in this transaction? And so when people realize that there are those consequences, they make it more of a priority. And so again, this is not to be mean to anybody. I would my take on all of this is at the end of the day, what we're doing and what you're doing, Clint, at Benefact, this is about protecting the school with the understanding that when we protect the school can be a light in the community. But if the school is not well protected from risk, if it's not well protected from, you know, financial mismanagement, and it runs out of steam and the dysfunction starts to creep in like you were talking about, it's no longer a light in the community. In fact, before it dies, it could end up being a really bad witness to people when everyone says, oh yeah, you know, this is not a Pomona Christian School, right? Terrible place, right? They run the place horribly. They're always late on all their payments. And, you know, I wouldn't send my kid there, and they're supposed to be a Christian school, right? That's no way to be sharing the love of Christ and the gospel in your community. Christian schools should be run better than any organization in the community. And so part of that then is bringing in the partners to do the things that the school is not equipped to do. And I would say that's, you know, obviously tuition financing from America's Christian Credit Union, but then that the financial aid determination with Benefact. And I can't stress this enough. Like, people have such a nose for injustice, right? Or at least perceived injustice, right? Whenever a policy is not really clear, or whenever a process isn't really, you know, clearly tied to, you know, data, to you know, measurable facts, right? They start to wonder, well, maybe there was some bias in this process. Maybe I didn't get as much financial aid as another family did because I don't have as good of a relationship, or because I, you know, maybe I parked too close to the headmaster's car in the parking lot that one time, or something like that, you know? And so anything that a school can do to work with third parties to introduce, you know, really clear, transparent guardrails and systems and processes to ensure that everybody knows how things are handled, and they can look at that and say, I feel that this was fair, right? Maybe I wasn't offered as much financial aid as I wish I had been, but I believe that the process was fair. And I will, you know, take the financial aid that I was offered and pay the tuition that I still owe. But once people start wondering if it was fair or not, it gnaws at them, at which point they start gnawing on the school leaders, and then, you know, everything gets out of whack.
And you said something earlier, Frank, that I want to touch on. So you talk about, you know, this really isn't, schools are not financial institutions. They should not have to do that, chasing people and giving time to that. Cause that's unneeded stress that a school shouldn't have to do. It's already a stressful environment where you have the responsibility of pouring into these kids for 6 to 8 hours a day and shaping their future. You know, that's a lot of stress in and of itself. So why would you add that burden, I guess, of like having to chase people off? Partner with people that are there to do it. It's also not costing your school anything. The same reason why, you know, I do what I do with school success and helping with one of the podcasts and then working with schools to help them grow enrollment. It's like, you shouldn't have to worry about doing that internally. Now, some of the bigger schools that have their own marketing teams and their own administrative team, like, that's a little different ball game. But some of these smaller schools, like, it's harder for them to compete because they're wearing 20 hats a piece trying to do these different things. Like, tap into some of these partners that are out there to serve your school. Yeah. So you got ACCU to do all the financial things. You got Benefact for the tuition aid verification. We get help with all your marketing and your online stuff, so you don't have to try and hire a mom to do some of that stuff and doing it out of the kindness of her heart. But then you feel like you can't be direct to them because they're a parent and they're volunteering their time. And so you're just kind of in this vicious cycle as a school. It's like, tap into the partners. And if you feel like you need a partner, if a school's listening, you need a partner in a specific area, reach out to us and let us know, because we have really, really cool people that we know and we trust and we love that we want to connect you with. If there's something in terms of a fundraising or different tech software that you need, there's some really good businesses out there that are there to serve you and love you and help you, because we are all, Clinton, Frank, and I, we're on this podcast because we love what you guys are doing and we want to be supportive and help you, because what you're doing is, it's God's work, I'd like to say, because man, to love these students and pour into these students, I appreciate it. I know these guys do too. I'll get off my high horse here, but I'll pass it back off to you guys if there's something else.
You know, I have served 5 different Christian schools in my career, from large to small, and there's one common thread with every one of them. They all had struggles financially. Some were way more obvious, you know, when it was like, how do we even make payroll tomorrow? versus others. And I'm thinking of a large one that I worked in that ended up having to file bankruptcy, sell all their buildings and move. It's not safe just because you've done things the same way over and over. And this I hear, we're good. We've got it figured out. Mm-hmm. No, maybe, but probably not. And so one of the things that we have worked on together, Frank and I have, is a document that at least is a guidepost for you, especially as a small school, because I still hear schools, you do too, Frank, that say, we don't even have a tuition payment policy. I mean, maybe it's kind of made up, kind of like we said, there's too many scenarios, so we can't get it all written down. Ours is really straightforward and simple. And I'm just going to spill the beans here. You can also request the white paper from us or go to the SchoolRight website. That's our parent company, and read the article yourself. And I think Frank's got a copy of it, Mitchell. If not, you're going to. But it's this: if anybody needs to make monthly payments to the school, they go on the tuition loan program. If they can pay upfront themselves, good. If you want to be a little gracious and say, if you want to do two payments, equal amounts, one in July, one in December or January, good. Then you can do that. If you miss the second payment, you're immediately on the tuition loan program with ACCU. Because now as a school, you're saying, here is our hard, fast line. We will not change from this. And you guys know, and those of you that are watching know, change is only hard because we perceive it in our minds. Oh, nobody's going to like this. They're going to get upset with us. They're going to hate us and run for the hills. No, they're not. Yeah. They're going to respect what you're doing, and you're going to have a much healthier and stronger school who is more accountable as a result of it. And this is what helps you become excellent, I believe, yes, in what you're attempting to do as a school. Mm-hmm. Because now you're going to be able to do things, and folks are going to go, oh, I see the differences this made. Look what we are able to do by going with this type of a program. So there's my pitch for it, too.
Hey, School Success Makers, just a really quick break to highlight one of our amazing sponsors, and that is ClassReach. Now, ClassReach supports schools of all sizes from application to graduation. Take charge of your school with ease, power, and mobility using ClassReach, the school management software administrators and teachers love using. You can get your free demo at ClassReach.com. That's ClassReach.com. They are amazing people, and they provide this amazing SIS software for you to keep track of your students' grades, communicating with families that are enrolled, and a whole bunch more. So again, check it all out on their website, ClassReach.com. They are awesome. All right, now back to the show.
Amen.
Frank, guys, any closing thoughts on this before we wrap it up? Frank, Clint did some good ones right there. Frank, you got any on your side?
Well, it's nothing that we haven't talked about already, but when you look at Christian schools and you look at the razor-thin margins that they operate on, and nobody gets paid enough for the work that they do. And yet, at least in my experience, it seems like for school leaders, top of mind is, how do we keep tuition affordable? Right. So even as the teachers are not getting paid enough, even as there's some deferred maintenance on campus that they know they should get around to, but just haven't yet because of the cost, they're thinking, how do we keep tuition affordable? How do we keep payments flexible for families? And, I understand the motive there to want to make the education as accessible as possible. But sometimes in an effort to make it so accessible, the quality of the education or the quality of life for the teachers who are making that education possible suffers. And so thinking in terms of how do we run our school with excellence, like Clint said, how do we run this school well? And we use a term a lot, we call them business trees, right? So yes, you're a ministry, but you need to run like a good business if you're gonna have the impact that you are hoping to have. And so be a business tree, think of yourself as a business tree, adopt really good business practices so that you have more capacity to do that ministry work without having to worry in the back of your mind about all the financial issues that a school could be facing. And so I guess my encouragement would be to any school leaders or any teachers who are watching this podcast right now, what you are doing is so important. I mean, it's literally of eternal value, right? And don't sell yourself short. And Paul says, well, I guess this comes from the Old Testament, right? But don't muzzle the oxen while it's treading out the grain, right? Mm-hmm. So you're doing really good work, but you shouldn't have to starve, right? You didn't take a vow of poverty when you took a job at a Christian school. And I don't think you should have to. I think that we should be taking care of our school leaders, our teachers. And a part of that is by running our schools well, running our schools like businesses, not to be greedy, but to ensure that the school is well managed and that everybody in the school community is taken care of. And a big part of that comes from, you know, having a financial aid system that is clear and that's transparent, that's fair, and that doesn't give the farm away, right? You don't have to give the farm away and give everybody a discount just because they ask. And similarly, you shouldn't have to bear the burden of a payment plan when there are financial institutions who can partner with you on that and make that possible for the families to have the flexibility while still giving the school the finances that it needs to run well.
Very well spoken. Clint, any final things?
That was excellent. Couldn't have said it any better. I just, you know, the time is now. We're living in a day and age where, and especially in terms of Christian schools, we can see the landscape of this country needs the footprint of these Christian schools to grow. Mm. So let's be strong and wise and be about the Lord's business and do these things well.
Amen.
And I'll add a final thing to you, what you just said, Clint, what Frank was saying. So you got these, I've heard this only a few times, but you know, you got the Christian schools. I know we're specifically speaking to a lot of Christian schools. So any non-Christian schools listening, like, this is still valuable stuff. If you're a private school, of course, like, you still use all of these things, but the Christians are like, well, you know, we're just trusting God that it's all going to come together. And hey, I love God and I trust him. But I know he doesn't want us to be foolish at the same time. And so, like, he's given us tools. He's given us things to be respectful and to approach everything with excellence. I love that you guys have used that word multiple times on the episode. I love that word of, like, we need to try and do everything with excellence. And so we can't be like, you know, we're going to spend this all this money over here that we don't have. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to chase people because we're just going to trust that it's going to come in. It's like, well, we also need to do our due diligence and setting things up to protect ourselves so that we can run like a business, like you said, mm-hmm. the business tree. I love that, that combining it, because you really do, like, if you're not running like a business, you're a charity. And at that point, you're going to eventually go bankrupt or shut down, which is scary. I mean, we just started working, or the school, we're working with a school that's on the brink of closing. We're trying to help them get enrollment, but it's the same thing. They're in, it's like too little too late. They're trying to catch up, and it's sad, you know? So I just wanted to mention that when you guys are saying that, like, hey, like, for Christian schools, like, we believe for that, but we also need to do our work on our side to get right there. And that's using partners like you guys and some of the other ones that we love and work with. So I'll do this real quick, because I know we're about over time here. If you were to give one piece of advice, which all this stuff, I always end with this on the podcast anyways, if you each were to give one piece of advice for a school leader listening, I know we already did a whole bunch of that already. What would a quick piece of advice? So Frank, no 10-minute answer here. Okay, I want a quick piece of advice. All right, what you got?
Wait, you go first.
Oh, okay. Well, mine's super simple. Don't think you know everything. You've got friends that do. We don't all know everything, but we've got friends that do. It's a chain, right?
Well, right, this is just a reiteration of what I said before. Don't sell yourself short. What you're doing is really important, and there's no need to give away the farm. Trust that what you're doing is valuable, and it is making a difference in the lives of families, you know, children and their families. And that comes at a cost, and there's no reason why people shouldn't pay that, you know, to make the school sustainable.
Love it. Frank, Clint, you guys are awesome. I love you guys to death. I love what you're doing. And we need to get together for a bro night or bro something, even though we live completely in different areas of the country. We got to figure
Indiana.
It out.
Indiana's kind of central.
Yeah, y'all can come up here. You can fly on my bro plane. I don't have one.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks a good one.
All right, you too.
Good to see you, Clint. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I did. Huge shout out to Clint and Frank for taking time and being on the podcast today. I absolutely love that chat. I love both those guys so much. I love what they're doing. Just wishing them nothing but the best as they continue to serve more and more schools that they work with, and hopefully some new schools that will hear about them and start working with them soon. But guys, a couple things. There's a few notes for this one as we end up this episode. The Clint had shared a white paper that he was talking about there at the end. You guys can find that. That link is in the show notes that you can find on School Right's website. But it's called Maximizing Efficiency in Christian School Tuition Payment Methods. You guys can read that in there. It'll kind of go over a lot about what was talked about on the podcast episode today. So go check that out. It is in the show notes. And then as always, guys, a few ways to connect with us. One, I would love, if you guys are loving this podcast and what we were able to bring out to you guys for education, if you could please give us a 5-star review, I'd love that. Or share it on Instagram. Give me a tag on my Mitchell R. Slater's, or you can find me online. Would love you to tag me so we can reshare some of the shares that you guys are doing. That would be awesome. But more than anything, just a 5-star review if you're loving the content that we're putting out, because it does take a lot of time and resources to put these out there, and we want to continue to be able to provide those and bring those out to you guys for that. A couple free resources for you guys besides the podcast is we have the School Success Makers private Facebook community. We'd love you guys to go join in there. I'm personally in there. Would love to see you in there as well. Feel free to ask questions, engage with some of the other members that are inside the group, but you can go check that out on Facebook, School Success Makers. And then check out our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com. We have live right now our, my goodness, I'm having a hard time with my train of thought today, but the School Success Report, which is our weekly email blast that goes out. It's got some great articles, some tips, suggestions. We're going to do some giveaways eventually inside of there. Just have a lot of fun with that report. So make sure you sign up to get that. You just put your email in and you'll get the School Success Report that comes out every week. And if you guys have comments, suggestions, ideas, or anything along those lines, you can find reach out to us through our website, schoolsuccessmakers.com, fill out the form on there, and we will look at your suggestions. Because maybe you have a specific guest you think we should have on, or maybe you think you'd be a great guest to be on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. And make sure you give some love to our sponsors, ClassReach and America's Christian Credit Union. We have some great people that we work with. And I know I mentioned on the episode today that if you guys are looking for something specific, like your school just needs help, or maybe you're working with somebody right now in some capacity and you're just maybe not super happy with the quality that you're getting from the people you're working with, reach out to us and let us know. We have a lot of great vendors and partners of ours that we work with in the school and education space that we'd love to connect you with. And maybe we have one already for you that we can connect you with. So let us know. But other than that, we will be back here next week with another awesome guest, or maybe two guests, since that was a little unique. But we'll do that as usual. Okay, guys. So we'll see you next week on the School Success Podcast. We'll see you then.